You're listening to the winabus.net podcast network.
Winabus.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.
Like my mom, my sister, and everybody, you can relax. This was good.
it was good. You know what I will say? I'm happy they finally brought up the fact that how goofy all those British accents sounds. We got some, you know, normal accents in this film.
It says the guy from Buffalo.
Yeah. It's normal. That's how what he's talking about.
No joke. I've already been getting nervous texts like, tell me it's good. Tell me it's good.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Have you really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it has to be. Uh-huh. I was scared my childhood was about to get crushed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was afraid my 30s were about to get. No, I am unabashed.
Not being the oldest in the group. I love it so much.
I'm an unabashed Harry Potter fan. I don't care how much shit I've gotten over the years about it. I'm like, whatever. These movies and these books and all the. I have like four wands, for God's sake.
My plus one's
in case you break one.
Yeah. Actually,
so I was on the point of like, this was actually stressing me out this week that I knew this was coming up, and I was like, I feel like I guess everyone else felt about like the new Star Wars film as well, where you're like, yeah, but what if it's bad?
Yeah,
you gotta have hope.
I wonder if everyone's everyone's apprehension came from Eddie Redmayne. Like they and I felt a little concerned when. At one point, they asked him, what are you doing in New York? And he's like, oh, I'm here on vacation! I was like, why are you doing that? That's another movie.
No, my concern was whether or not they could actually spin something original, you know, without, like, you know, the safety net of the book.
Yeah, well, how closely are you going to make us feel comfortable as being in the same universe, but is it going to be the degree that you just feel like you're watching a rewrite of one of the Harry Potter things? Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that they fell into that.
No, this is its own entity from like start to finish.
Yeah, but that still is like there's no doubt this is part of the Harry Potter universe. Even if most of the things they're doing are the occasional offhanded reference to like, you know, Albus Dumbledore. Or,
yeah, we need that name call out there.
Yeah, we do.
Well, they have actually said that Albus Dumbledore will be one of the main characters of the next film.
Nice. You
know, the hype already starting.
Yeah, young Dumbledore.
Listening to him performing spells, like, it definitely feels indicative of, you know, that bigger universe. And you feel, even without the little comments here or there, you feel like you're in the Harry Potter world.
They got that sensibility right of the magical world.
And part of it is that you've got David Yates back as a director who directed the last, like, four, I think it was, Harry Potter films. And I think did a bang-up job. I think he really took the most difficult books to translate to film of that whole series.
Certainly the darkest.
And managed to make them work in film. And maybe it wouldn't have worked as well if it hadn't had one guy steering it. Here, like, atmospherically, it's definitely more similar to the early Harry Potter books, that it's more sort of like awe and whimsy and like, oh my God, look at that adorable
at times. That's it's quite dark.
I think it feels a lot like 4, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It bounces between the lightheartedness and, and the darker tones, which to me sometimes felt like a really hard turn. Occasionally.
Yeah, it wasn't smooth.
This movie just proves that J.K. Rowling has a thing about child abuse. I don't know what it is. You know, it's like, but this time it's a little darker and there's a lot of beatings in it. So it's like,
she's like, what scares my children? When I beat them. I should write about that.
Or write that down. Yeah.
There's no question that, like, I mean, like, there's going to be people who are going to be seeking to be finding her liberal agenda here. And yeah, it's there. I mean, down to the point that the main villain you could sum up as oppression from repression. So basically she's saying, like, if you gay guys, if you don't let yourself be gay, you're going to, like, end up destroying New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be cool if that worked that way.
That'd
be well deserved. the story here, Eddie Redmayne, as we said, plays Newt Scamander, who is a not your typical like protagonist from a film. He's actually very shy. He's very introverted. He's the less said, the better.
He's very Eddie Redmayne.
He's very Eddie Redmayne. Well, except in that one in Jupiter Ascending.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, don't even bring it
you
up.
You mentioned
yeah.
that.
Flashbacks.
Oh, no, can't I say it again or it'll... Or it'll
he was just showing us a range, guys. He was just showing us a range.
Frank, obliviate. And he's come to New York City with his suitcase full of beasts because, well, he claims he's there to negotiate for another beast. As it goes along, we find out there's a little more to it than that. But along the way, he ends up meeting up with Dan Fogler, who is in New York City, in America, they call Nomadge instead of Muggles. But he makes it clear we call
it's
them
a racial slur.
Yeah, it sounds almost totally like is. Muggles is more of a racial slur yeah. than Nomadge would be.
I mean, we're going to get into it in a bit, but I'll say that American Wizarding Society, pretty racist.
Oh, yeah.
Very appropriate for these times.
But, you know, especially in America, you're not supposed to have anything to do with non-magic users at all. And if you do, you immediately use Obliviate on them, which takes their memories away. But Eddie Redmayne's character doesn't really feel that way, so he becomes best friends with Dan Fogler.
How can you not?
Introduces him to the world inside his suitcase filled with magical and totally awesome creatures. Well-designed.
Well-designed.
Well-thought-out, cool magical creatures. And they're kind of on the run, both from, you know, the powers that be, the establishment.
Magical Congress, the United States.
Yeah, who are generally a bunch of dicks and have very hard and fast rules. I mean, they're not evil. They're just a bunch of dicks.
I bet that was hard.
I'm sorry,
we
talking?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the biggest dick is Colin Farrell, who you're never really quite sure what his job is there. He's head of the Aurors, maybe?
Yeah, he's like one of the leaders of the Aurors.
Yeah, but he's definitely a little harder core than the rest of them.
Like a police lieutenant.
A little militant.
On the other side, you have like there's a group of like anti-witch humans who are out there going like, oh, no, witches, we know they're witches, and point is nobody does know they're witches, but you know they've seen enough and around the corners that they know. With the whole time you're going, why is the Flash there?
Over in the corner.
Ezra Miller going back to playing like roles that Ezra Miller should play.
Yeah. What about Kevin and all
Flash.
That?
Yeah. Like this creepy glowering guy,
a serial killer. I expected him to you know peel someone's skin off and wear it.
Yeah, one of these days he will.
But there's all these different things going after them. There's a lot of different side characters. I mean, there's so many fucking characters in this thing that come up briefly.
John Voight.
And then Catherine, John Voight plays like the mayor of New York, I think.
He's a newspaper.
He's a newspaper guy, and Catherine Watterson plays Tina, who is kind of an incompetent person who works for this Ministry of Magic here, who is trying to get Newt to arrest Newt, but nobody takes her seriously because she fucks up a lot, I guess.
She was a former Aurora.
Yeah. She ends up basically teaming up with him to survive what comes. And the less said, the better about the specifics. I mean, it actually does get a little complicated as things go on, but not so much that I think kids can't grasp it.
No.
I mean,
what do you think, kids?
What I will say is that I think this movie does a great job in world building, where even though there are some like terms that the film uses that like the previous Harry Potters have kind of explained, like squib. We hear the word squib like maybe once in the film or twice. And it's like for people who don't know what that is, they're like, I don't know. The movie doesn't take the opportunity to say that. However, I do think that this is just like a good continuation of that world while building and introducing really cool and very scary things. And as someone who is a Harry Potter fan, I just think it excelled on all fronts in regards to that.
I'm just really glad they didn't decide to do a sort of like, oh, look, it's baby Voldemort. Come on.
Nobody really wants that.
Nobody wants that. Yeah. No. But I do think people want, like I said, the young Dumbledore. We've only seen him as a very old man. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the idea of like, oh, the early adventures of Dumbledore that come not coming up next.
That's really kind of the only character who's that I think people would want to see. Like, I think the Harry Potter movies, three flashbacks, did a really good job of showing you like what Harry's parents were like, what Snape was like when he was younger.
Because that's a generation before Harry Potter. Yeah. But this is the generation before that.
Right.
You know, it's funny, my wife was like, is this after?
Yeah.
I mean,
like, no, it's before, I swear. And, you know, I mean, it takes place in like the 20s, I think. right?
And that yeah. It's, yeah. Like they talk about it's after World War One.
Okay.
When pastries were 3 cents. That's all I know.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, the good old days.
That's how America got fat. That's why they had to raise the price.
Dan Fogler.
But you bring up, I mean, some of the cast. I mean, Fogler, to me, is probably one of the best characters in this film. I mean, he's charming. He's fun. Every time he's... You just smile every time he's in a scene.
I always want to hug him.
Yeah. He's very huggable. And I think he has...
Likeable. It's that great chemistry he has with Allison Sudol, who plays Queenie. Watterson's roommate, who's a can't help it telepath. Like
they're sisters, aren't they?
They're sisters as well. Yeah, she can read people's minds and really can't stop herself from reading people's minds, but she's also like the sweetest person on the whole planet.
And how does fuck?
And the fact she like just, because she can read everyone's mind and can't help it, she does truly like people for what is inside, and that's what makes that relationship when she gloms onto Dan Fogler's character so fucking charming.
Yeah, I bought into that whole thing, like hook, line, and sinker. I love the two of them together and just watching them. Yeah.
And I was initially nervous because I thought, oh, she's kind of be kind of this very stereotypical kind of ditz, and she's not that at all. No. Like the trailers may convey that, but she's actually a surprisingly, really charming
super
character.
Super well-rounded.
It's
very complex character in the sense that she's like a flirty gossip. But the thing she's gossiping about are your own thoughts. It's like the girl who wants you to tell her your secret, but she already knows your secret, and she's giggling about it with you. It's really hot. I'm going to Google search that later.
They must be out there somewhere.
Rule 42, man. It's already out.
Well, no, there's porn of it.
Flirty telepaths. In Nike.
Was that Fantastic Cocks and Where to Find Them?
That's out there. Someone's working on the screenplay.
Already started work on that. The weirdest thing about this movie is that the decision, like I said, to make both the really main characters, Scamander and Tina, they're so introverted and quiet and kind of nervous and nerdy. You know, they're it's odd because I was like at first like very taken aback by it, but then I was like, that's because the movie's not about them. It's just following them. It's your entry back into this world, which is very different than the version of the world we saw in the Harry Potter films. Mm-hmm. There are our ticket to ride through this world, basically, following on their coattails. But they're so not essential to the bigger universe and everything I've read, I don't even think they're going to appear in the next movie.
They really are just there to explain things to us, like define, you know, what that is, what that does.
Yeah.
Essentially. But no, you're right. It's not about them, and it would work with two completely different characters.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that I think they have the character in question that has, you know, the guy with all the monsters, and he's kind of the introduction to America of the sort of, hey, you guys need to fucking relax.
Yeah.
Of that idea. Us Brits, we're all smoking the Tolkien reefer and like having a great time.
The old Toby. I don't know, for me, I'd actually, you know, I'd like to see them in a sequel or maybe the rest of the films because they were so different from previous protagonists that we've seen in these films, and I think just in films in general. I kind of want an introverted protagonist who's kind of shy and quirky and weird,
like the misfit ruffian sort of.
Well, I don't know. It just really worked for me, and I think that there's a lot more to explore. And that's the thing that the movie does well, I think, for the most part, where they hint at a lot of cool stuff that might be coming in the future. They mention members of Newt Scamander's family and hints at this greater kind of conflict that may have had something to do with what was happening during regular human history. It's just, like I said, the world building is really fantastic. And the other thing that I always wanted to bring up and the thing I was always interested in is that I was always confused as to why there never seemed to be like a huge conflict between the Wizarding World and just the greater like humanity itself, like all these different countries, and I like that the movie is clearly, or this film is just laying those seeds, and then I hope that they're going to act upon it in the sequels and show that there's going to be a conflict between humanity and the Wizarding World. Yeah, and maybe something like that needs to happen in order to get to the point where we see in Harry Potter where they're separate, but they're not at each other's throats.
Right. They've insinuated in the books, I think, than in the movies, that, yes, there was some sort of time when there was a confrontation, and then everybody got together and said, okay, this is, we got to be, have much more stricter rules about this.
Yeah.
Because this, humans and magic users, they just don't get along that well, unless you're playing Dungeons & Dragons.
I don't have max dexterity.
On that world building, I agree with you. I think that that's, I mean, that's what this first movie especially is. It's there's so much stuff here that there's so much stuff that are red herrings, which is interesting.
There's a lot of characters
in here that you're like, they're there to distract you from where, when you find get to the end of the movie, you realize this series really is going, you know, like a lot of characters. Well, wait, how are they going to figure into this? Only like, oh, wait, they're dead now.
That's not what I thought was going to happen.
But that just shows us how surprising the film is.
Yeah, there's a lot of surprises like that throughout it.
One of those rare times where like you can absorb and see every different trailer out there. You're still going to be surprised by a lot of what you see.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I mean, Ron Perlman is a little goblin bartender guy. That's pretty cool.
I mean, he plays, what, a house elf? They didn't really need the CGI, and they just meant to make him short. They kept his chin, by the way, which is like three quarters of his face.
He didn't even have to speak before I went, that's Ron Perlman.
Yeah. Just made his eyes black and pointed teeth. It's like, yeah, that's him.
I like that the references to the bigger world are never put out there so that if you have never seen Harry Potter movies or you're not super familiar with them, you don't go, like, well, I don't understand what just happened. They're just kind of like, like, they were putting out there because it's probably going to be important later.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not essential to watching the film. Like, there's a reference to the main character having dated someone with the last name Lestrange at one point that I know every hardcore Potter fan.
Yeah. Well, the audience was like,
ears perked up, like, what?
Explanation, please.
You know, Bellatrix,
then? What? Are you, you need to have better child-rearing skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I was overall really pleased with this, and I was so worried that I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to have that sort of apprehension going on there. And also, if you're not familiar with the Potter world, then there's everyone's sort of afraid of being alienated. But this film doesn't do that at all. This is its own film. It's its own story. And, yeah.
I do have one criticism, and I'm going to tiptoe around spoilers. But there is a moment towards the end that happens that is very kind of off-putting and just feels... It's unintentionally funny.
I'll let you describe it in more detail as soon as we do final thoughts.
Cool.
After final thoughts, we'll do a few spoilers.
Okay.
Chris Herman, go ahead and into your said final thoughts.
Yeah, I thought this was infinitely charming. I love the cast. I thought Eddie Redmayne does a fantastic job. Dan Fogler, to me, kind of steals the show. The film just does a great job of reintroducing us to the Wizarding World, but through kind of this American lens. Through American lens, but also through a British character. It's just kind of weird in how he kind of makes these kind of comments on the American Wizarding
it
Society.
It is our society.
It might as well be.
The world that I live in, Chris Herman.
Yes, I believe it.
In my head.
Yeah, good. for right now, I'm really excited for this franchise. It clearly is going to be, hopefully, one of Warner Bros.' only successes, at least critically for a while. Probably for right now, I give this 8.5 horny hippopotamus creatures.
You know that was turning you on.
Yeah. It was turning someone on. Right? Rule 34.
Oh, gosh. I gotta say, I was very, sort of looking forward to it and at the same time dreading it, this movie, just because I am a Potter fan and I didn't want them to just, you know, squeeze something until all the juice is gone. But I was surprised. I thought it was dark, which I love. I love the dark tone. I also love the sort of light tones. I did think the tone was a little bit jarring at times. And that's only because, this isn't working from a novel. This is its own thing. Also, J.K. Rowling is not naturally a screenwriter. And so as a result, it's not a perfect film. You do have to forgive that a little bit, but there's so much inventiveness in it. There's so much fun, and fun I wasn't even expecting. Like, I love the whole Gentlemen Prefer Blondes vibe that we got from the two from the two chicks and the two guys. Beyond that, I think it's...
I hope the next one goes with Some Like It Hot.
That's one place they can go now. Overall, I think it's, one of the more original movies that we're going to have this year. Definitely it's a great kickoff to, like, the family holiday type of, season. I'd probably give it about 8 flying strudels cooking in midair, baking in midair.
That made me hungry.
Me too. Oh,
strudel is so good.
Yes.
But buffalo strudel is better, right?
Yeah, it is. We have a high, we have a large Polish population now to make strudel.
That's true.
It's
that's
better
true.
Than those damn German strudels.
I gotta take
they look
you
really
out
good in Inglourious Basterds.
I gotta take you out to the check stop, clearly.
Okay.
John.
Oh, sorry. No, I do have to agree that there's kind of these tonal issues where it feels like it's jumping from the vibe of the first two Harry Potter films with the vibe of the last four. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to cater to where we left off to also being open and available to younger and newer fans. But this is my franchise. Like, this is my Star Wars. This is my Lord of the Rings. I grew up with these books and these movies. And I will not hear anyone say a bad thing about any of those movies. They are all good, if not great. So I was very timid going into this because I was scared. I did not want my childhood and those memories to be tainted. And it doesn't do that. I felt like a kid again, just being there, seeing mm-hmm. that magic and seeing this world like built upon. And me and Chris had talked about at the beginning of the latest We Are Era about movies
plug.
And yeah, hard plug, but about how important
good job, John.
About how important movies and games are going to be now in this new political landscape. And I think the fact that this movie puts like a big emphasis on loving yourself and accepting who you are and not letting other people destroy you and tell you you're bad for what you are, I think it's more important now than it ever has been to have a movie like this let you escape and feel the magic of movies. So I give this movie a 9 out of 10 shots of giggle water.
JC? I wouldn't say I'm indifferent to the Harry Potter franchise, but I do like it. It's not one of my favorites. I didn't grow up with it, but I definitely appreciate the movie. So going into this one, I didn't really have any expectations one way or the other. I felt like it had a lot to live up to. It was really my only sense of apprehension, and it was going to have to deliver on a really high quality level for this to be considered good. And I feel like it did. There are some differences. I think Frank made reference to it. I guess did J.K. Rowling write the script?
Yes, okay. She did.
It's her first time writing script.
Okay, plays. And that's pretty evident because at 133 minutes. And I was thinking back to the Harry Potter franchise, and there weren't a lot of wasted moments. Like, pretty much every moment on screen was essential, and those movies were long, but everything was necessary. And this one does have a lot of filler. There were a couple times where I'm like, okay, speed it up. There's only so many times people could just talk in a room with really nothing happening. Like, so, and that's, you know, that's kind of my one criticism in that, and it was pretty evident that, yeah, she's a first-time screenwriter. Beyond that, I mean, yeah, the world-building was really cool. I think anytime anyone can convincingly recreate 1920s New York and just have it be authentic, every stitch of the frame be authentic, is a feat in itself. And to mix the magic of this world in with that, really well done. I love Dan Fogler. I wish he was in more stuff. I like the movie Take Me Home Tonight. Nobody else really does, but
I like that movie.
Okay, yeah, he's really funny. I wish he was in more stuff. But yeah, I would give this 7 out of 10 wands.
Kyle,
I love how when JC was talking, like questioning J.K. Rowling's screenwriting chops, everybody in the room just looked like a lion ready to pounce on him, licking their lips like, what? How dare you talk about my franchise? Which I think if you're a big fan of Harry Potter, you're going to like this movie. I'm not a fan of Harry Potter, really. You know, I've read some of the books, not all of them, like most of the movies. I've dressed up ironically as the characters. But I really tried to judge this for its own
Hermione
thing. What?
Hermione?
Yeah, of course.
You'd make a good Hermione.
Well, you know, you do like
that. I don't know, face shape or something.
Yeah, I mean, well, and you.
He's saying you're hot, Kyle. Guys, wear this yellow dress.
Oh, guys. Oh, shucks.
I said, put on the dress.
What?
Or my homunculi said it anyway.
Yeah.
Compliments are compliments. Thanks, Layden.
Sorry. Look it up.
No, I think all in all, the characters for me are the strongest part of this film. I mean, visually, it's stunning, but, you know, so were the Harry Potter films. This, it does bring kind of like these new protagonists into this world that we're familiar with. But then again, we get to see it in the 1920s, and they did a really great job, you know, with all these sets and just everything they did. I'm probably liking it a little less than the group. I'm at about 6 out of 10 flirty telepaths.
Get out of here.
And you're still like, put that flirty telepath.
But the thing is, if I was a huge Harry Potter fan, I'd probably give it something closer to like an 8.
Yeah, and I fully admit that my deep and passionate love for the Harry Potter films, all things Harry Potter, is going to color my review and my feelings about this film. It absolutely does.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's exactly... like, all my fears feel abated. I feel very comfortable back in. And one thing I kept thinking during this film was, God is in the details. Because this is like going to Harry Potter land at Universal, where every inch of this film is filled with Easter eggs. Like, there's just, your eyes just like, I was thinking, I can't wait to get this on Blu-ray so I can freeze frame this over and over and over again and see, what did that newspaper say? What is that book called?
Yes, just the different scarves that they're wearing. Like, every time a character's wearing a scarf, it's like, what are those colors? What do the stripes mean?
Well, no opening credits, like you just said, the newspapers. Yeah. I mean, that was great. Yeah,
yeah, it was just, there's so, it's so packed with that stuff that as a little Potter fan who just wants more, I'm like, yeah, this was exactly what I was looking for. I only really have one criticism about this, and that's when it goes into full-blown big action sequences, which there are a couple of. It's a little difficult to tell what's going on sometimes because everybody is teleporting back and forth so fast. I mean, it's just, they're like...
apparating?
Apparating.
That's the word we were trying to think of. We were in the beginning of the movie like, what's that thing?
I get something, the port key or something. Yeah. I can't remember. Yes, big, real big Harry Potter fan. Crucio!
No! He knows that one.
Yeah, of course.
Abracadabra. I apologize.
No, that was well deserved.
See, and that could be part of the screen. Or anything, because if she's like, okay, they're in a gym, how do I get out? We'll just make them fucking Disney.
Yeah, people apparate constantly in this movie, but it's a little confusing when it's all in the middle of an action scene. We're like, wait, where did they go? What just happened? Did they get blown up? I don't know what happened. I was a little taken aback. I mean, it didn't take long to figure out what's going on after that, but still, it was like, I just look like a bunch of colors and black shit rushing by the screen to me. I don't know what actually was going on. That's my one complaint, and that's only very briefly. Other than that, I was thoroughly pleased with this thing. And once again, Allison Sudol, boy, wow, what a discovery she is in this thing, who's the flirty psychic lady. She's I'm like, I will watch her.
One of the best characters, I think, in the movie.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just totally charming. And it makes you want to believe that she and Dan Fogler are actually going to go get married. Like, they fell in love on set.
I know.
But that seems highly unlikely.
Let's just believe that.
Yeah, I give this 9 out of 10 evil but adorable bug creatures. Because, you know, it's pretty adorable. It's that one great line. It's like, leave that man's brain alone. nice but spoiler humor. Territory, Herman, explain yourself.
Okay, so for most of the film, we follow this character named Percival Graves, which is played by Colin Farrell. And he's kind of... turns out to be, at least initially, kind of like a one-dimensional villainous character. I kind of was like, oh, well, you know, I thought we'll probably get to know him more in the sequels, because obviously he's going to be signing on for those, right? And so it's revealed that he's actually, what's
Grindelwald.
His name? Grindelwald. And I'm thinking, I was like, oh, okay. But then it's not Colin Farrell. It's Johnny Depp.
Scooby-Doo moment.
Yeah, it's the Scooby-Doo moment. And it's Johnny Depp playing dress-up again, and he looks like Mordecai.
It was Mordecai the whole time.
He has the mustache, except let's give
him a different... Well, his grandfather made it.
Yeah, it was his grandfather. Yeah. And it's just... And here's the thing. You know that they kind of messed that moment up because there was so much unintentional laughter in the theater in that moment because it was like, what happened?
Well, a lot of that laughter, I think, was just shock. Like, yeah, people just didn't know Johnny Depp was going to be in this movie at all.
And that something like,
what
got by them.
Fuck is Johnny Depp doing there?
See, I would have been fine if it had been Johnny Depp, but why do you have to make him look so goofy? Just have him be Johnny
Depp.
That's
what I'm saying, because Johnny Depp,
had a nose.
Without goofy makeup, is too good looking to be a villain.
You'd have a good looking villain.
Yeah, but, you know, in a Bond movie.
Well,
not in a Harry Potter.
I would have just been fine had they just had him have the bleached hair, and then it was just Johnny Depp. I would have been fine with that because we actually see Grindelwald in the opening of this film. The opening sequence is him killing some aurors, we assume, either in Britain
lots of
or
newspaper
Europe,
stuff, where he's already considered the Voldemort of his time. Everybody's scared of
Voldemort. Actually, sought his counsel throughout, kind of even before the Harry Potter books and towards the. I think it was part one or part two of the last film.
Right. Yeah.
And he actually went to visit him in Azkaban, which, again, it's a great world building.
Part one.
Yeah, part one. Thank you, John.
I just saw it recently again.
again, it was this. I'm not crazy with the makeup and the design. I thought, hopefully they address that, because I think people are going to be off-put by his look.
Well, it'll be interesting, because, I mean, it's already established at one point he and Dumbledore were friends. Like, they got along. In fact, J.K. Rowling's insinuated part of what broke up their relationship is Dumbledore wanted more. And Grindelwald wasn't into it. That was like,
nice.
He was like, didn't want to double that door.
Gonna be openly gay in the next movie.
I mean, she said as much that it's going to involve something like that, not being into specifics. But I get the feeling we're going to see a flashback in one of the future movies of both of them much younger and in school and friends that'll explain, well, how the fuck did he get this way? Mm-hmm. And I really think the main character in these films going on is going to end up being Dumbledore. I really do. Who's not in this at all.
No, he's mentioned.
But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, right now they're just going, who the fuck are we going to cast?
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody who's willing to sign on for several films.
I know.
Monkey? Oh, I know who, too.
Dan Stevens.
Oh, for God. Not Chris Evans?
No, he's an American. We need a Brit.
I love Dan Stevens.
I was going to say...
Dan Stevens, John's on my side.
Who's the kid we just cast as Spider-Man?
British guys get old.
Tom Holland.
He's too young.
Tom Holland.
He's too young.
You go that young.
He's
the hair.
A professor. He's the Dewey Houser of his time.
I've got a spoiler beef, too, and it's with the character designer, one of the monsters. And it may have been multiple characters... But there was an invisible monster, and I couldn't help but think that they're working on the character design, and then they got the guys who are like, well, this is how the city's going to get tore apart, and they designed all that, and it was like, oh, we don't have enough time to finish the character. They'll just be invisible. Let's go back and voice over. And
but they did end up showing him.
Which one are we talking about? I'm sorry. Are we talking about the happy monkey? Oh, we're talking about that.
No, I mean, at the beginning, there's like an invisible creature.
The giant cloud.
Yeah, that was the thing.
The giant cloud with eyes.
The giant cloud you're talking about? The thing that comes out of
Well, you
Ezra
see
Miller?
The cloud at the end, but at the beginning, like, you didn't see the cloud.
Right.
They kind of lead you to believe that it's this invisible creature that's escaped. And then the reveal is that it's not a big, huge thing.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's invisible even when it attacks the kind of that campaign rally / dinner with John Voight's son.
Yeah, invisible there. It's invisible at first when it attacks Ezra Miller's mom. Like, you're like, okay, so it can be either.
Yeah, I think he lost total – because he mentions – when Grindelwald basically confronts him and says, maybe I do, and when Ezra Miller's character, Credence, is his name Credence, I think?
Yeah. Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Credence.
But he remarks, maybe...
Dude, they stole the Credence?
He remarks that, I don't want to control it. Or I don't, you know, he feels like maybe
he's
controlled.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, he has
but
that
now
moment.
He's like, I don't want to control it anymore. I'm going to reveal what
that
I
makes
am.
More sense now. It just seemed kind of like, oh, this one's invisible.
I also think that the next movie might focus on John Voight being the main villain. Because he's here kind of in a sort of like setting up a guy. Because we all agreed
conflict.
It sounds like it's going to be more of a human wizard conflict coming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if they'll let the Grindelwald thing continue to more slowly build up.
It's got
to
be.
You know,
and
like,
there was a lot with the younger son that seemed to be like, there's something they want to build there.
Yeah.
Like him being crazy a little bit. Yeah. And they just...
No, keep going, John.
And they just kind of leave it there. That's what I think is really great about this movie, is there's so much for them to just keep going with.
Mm-hmm.
She really knows how to build
it's world building, totally. Yeah. Like,
however, they erase everyone's memory at the end of the film.
Like, who are caught in the rain?
Yeah, that's true.
With one exception, the way magic works, it's just
that's the thing.
Plus, there's an antidote somewhere.
What if they could do something like Grindelwald does get out and then decides to go and conceal himself again and then de-obliviate John Boyd's character.
All right, fair enough.
Okay. You know, it makes perfect sense that Colin Farrell would be in this movie because we were talking about in Bruges earlier. Mm-hmm. He had Mad-Eye Moody in there. Voldemort was in there. Fleur, she was in there too.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with them on set.
In Bruges is part of the Harry Potter universe?
I think it may be. I think it may be. We've made the connection with this film.
I had one small problem, but you guys liked in the opening credits, the newspaper and all the headlines. The final headline said, "Is anybody safe?" And I was like, "Too soon, movie." Yeah, kind of.
There were definitely more than a few moments I thought about the Trump presidency in this film.
Yeah. And John Voight being a key figure in an election.
Yeah.
What was the campaign slogan?
Make America Hate Again?
I can't remember it. That's kind of
kill all the wizards. I don't know.
I mean, well, it makes sense. I mean, the 20s. American populism was at one of its high. I mean, the teens and the 20s, American populism was popular. Nativism was popular. So was nationalism. I'm not trying to make this a political podcast, but I'm just pointing out that they clearly take stuff from that time period, that history of what politics were.
Something to consider, too. I don't know if J.K. Rowling identifies more as an American or as a Brit nowadays, but I mean, Brexit would have been very much in, you know, kind of her thinking as she was working on this film. I can totally see this going in that direction.
American politics.
Oh, yeah. And British politics.
Oh, then your next movies are going to get real interesting.
Yes.
Oh, wow.